So the question I have for you today,
does God laugh? Of course. Great. That was all. Thank you. Well, I can go eat now. Oh, you're not going to get off that easy. What's that, Colleen? Dances and sings over. That's not quite laughter. Not quite laughter. We read some verses earlier that talks about God laughing. But most of the verses talk about God laughing. It's sort of a laughing at, as opposed to laughing with. Kind of a laughing with the people of Israel at their enemies. There's a lot of talk of Jesus and joy, right? Bringing good news, bringing joy to all people. And he talks about being like a child, being filled with glee. But there's not a talk about, then Jesus fell out of his chair because he was laughing so hard. So it's kind of a trickier question. So the way I want to come at it today is, let's see, does God have a sense of humor? And if God has a sense of humor, then God knows how to tell a joke, right? So that means that we have to kind of analyze what humor is, analyze what a joke is. And that's a kind of a prickly prospect because, as E.B. White says, explaining a joke is like dissecting a frog. You understand it better, but it dies in the process. Quickest way to kill a joke? Explain it to someone. But with that caveat, I'm going to try to explain jokes and explain humor. So jokes work when there is something that is expected and then there is something that is unexpected that replaces what is expected. So if, for example, in physical comedy, it's like when you expect someone to be walking down a street and then they slip on a banana peel. Or have you seen this game? Pie in the Face? It is a game where you put your head in, you spin the spinner, and then you put a little whipped cream or small pie in the hand there, and then you turn a crank there. And if you can turn the crank the number of times you spin without getting a pie in the face, then you get points. And if you get a pie in the face, do you know what you get? A pie in the face. And then, of course, this is funny because it is something, even though, you know, there's that anticipation, that expectation, when it something unexpected comes, that's an expectation. It can work verbally, too. When there is something goes, the verbally goes down one route and then the meaning changes into another route. Groucho Marx was a pro at this, probably one of the greatest ever. For example, he once said, marriage is like an institution, but who wants to live in an institution? Or it can be something where you have two things that don't really belong together and you put them together. That is how to subvert expectation. I told you, this isn't going to be funny. Just analysis. For example, a red high heel shoe, not very funny. Three-wheeled motorcycle, not very funny. However, you put them together, funny. Shoe car is funny. Okay, so now that we understand how humor works, we can look at this story of Abraham and Sarah, and I think we can see that clearly God has a sense of humor. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit from the verse that Patty read. I'm going to go back to Genesis 18:10. Now, what is happening in this verse is that Abraham and Sarah are welcoming three visitors. And the visitors is believed to be sort of maybe angelic figures or stand-ins for God. So as they're talking, one of the figures said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, he's talking to Abraham, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old. I like to put very, if it's old wasn't enough, very old. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah said to herself as she thought, and after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. Now, I love this story because there are so many great details in this very short period of time. One of them, the first, is that Sarah, as it says, was very old. And she laughed to herself because, I mean, imagine that you were Sarah's age. I think she was about 90. And someone comes to you and says, you're going to have a child. Maybe she would, yeah. I'm not pointing anybody out. So Sarah's response, and the way that they translate it in the NRSV is, after I'm already worn out, which doesn't refer necessarily to her energy levels as much as it does to that she's sort of closed for business. It's a very polite way of saying something else. And then, if that wasn't enough, she brings Abraham into it too. And she goes, not only am I old, he's even older than me. He's really old. And then she says, am I really going to have this pleasure? And it's unclear whether she's talking about the pleasure of having a child or the pleasure of conceiving a child. But either way, it seems like a long shot. And so she laughs. And then at this point, the text changes and it says that the Lord then talks to Abraham. And so it identifies the speaker as the Lord. And the Lord says, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah, you know, gets afraid and says, I didn't laugh. And then the Lord said, yes, you did laugh. And how we interpret this last part, I think, says a lot about what we think about God and laughter, right? Because there are a couple ways you can interpret this. You can interpret this as God being very upset, right? Like, why did you laugh? It's nothing too hard for me. I'm the Lord. But I kind of think of it as the way that a parent would catch a child lying. I'll give you an example. When Brian was much younger, when he was like 4, and he was just learning how to do potty training, he would always forget to wash his hands. But he also didn't want me to know that he forgot that he washed his hands. So he'd come out of the bathroom and I'd say, did you wash your hands? And he would just go, yes, just reflexively, yep, sure did. And I'd say, okay, well, come over and let me feel them then. And then he would turn around and walk back into the bathroom and wash his hands. And of course, I caught him in that lie, but I'm not mad at him. I'm not saying, like, how dare you lie to me, you didn't wash your hands. And I think that that can be a way of interpreting the scripture, that God says to Sarah, yeah, you did laugh. I caught you. I saw you laughing. And I think that this interpretation is reinforced by the chapter, a few chapters later in chapter 20, the part that Patty read for us this morning, when what these people have said does come true, that Sarah does get pregnant. She does conceive and bear a child, and she nurses this child. And she names him Isaac, which means I laughed. I laughed because she says, everybody who hears this story is going to laugh. You were how old? And he was how old? And you did what? And you had a, and you got what? No. And remember what we said about jokes. That we take something that is expected and we bring in the unexpected. Right? You take something, this old woman who's now pregnant. These things go together like a shoe in a car. They don't really fit. And so putting them together like that, unexpectedly, that's funny. That's just a sense of humor. So I think, clearly God has a sense of humor, and I think that's reinforced by Sarah saying, I'm going to name this child, this blessed child from God, I laugh. And then, of course, Isaac goes on to father Jacob. Jacob, who changes his name to Israel, goes on to father a bunch of children who then become tribes of the nation of Israel. So the entire nation, a nation that gave birth to the nation of Israel and the descendants, were all founded on this one laughter. They all come from laughter. And this joyous moment of Abraham and Sarah. And, of course, as we move history down, the people of Israel and all the descendants, we end up with Jesus. A person who comes into the world and completely subverts all expectations. Every time there was something that people expected, he gave them something else. He said, no, blessed are the strong. Nope, blessed are the meek. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. I mean, that's not what we meant. Don't let the children come to Jesus. Don't let these children bother Jesus. No, let the children come to me, because unless you guys are like these children, you will not get into the kingdom of heaven. Every single point where there is an expectation, Jesus subverts that expectation. Maybe you could call Jesus a humorist in that vein. I do think that there is often some very humorous pieces of those parables. And finally, the last laugh that Jesus has is over death. The last laugh that Jesus has is over death, because even death laughed in the face of and could not keep him down. And so as we go into this time of Lent, I invite you to keep this idea of laughter with you. Lent can be a somber time, and it is, because it's a time of reflection. It's a time of thinking about where we are in the world, what we would like to change, what we would like to leave behind, well, who we would like to be. But let's also keep in mind that idea that our expectations might be subverted by God. You never know what God is going to ask of you or tell you. I mean, just look at Sarah. Amen? Amen. Amen.